Good morning. It's 11 minutes before the hour on this Wednesday, the 24th day of October, 2012. I'm Jeff Seifert for Raven News. It could soon be more expensive to flush your toilet. The Sitka Assembly last night advanced a measure that would raise the base rate for sewer service by 9.5%. That would take the rate from about $39 a month to about $42. The increase is in line with a plan presented to the Assembly last night. It recommends raising rates by the same percentage every year through 2018. The city says the new rates would help keep money on hand to fund improvements needed to the sewer system. The plan studied sewers throughout town and showed several in need of almost immediate repair. That includes areas near DeGroff Street and Hollywood Way, along with Kimsham, Tilson, and Peterson Streets. The increased rates approved last night will get one more reading before becoming official. That's expected to happen at the next regular meeting on November 6th. Also last night, the Assembly gave its final approval to begin work at Blue Lake. The dam is one of two hydro projects generating electricity for Sitka. Increasing its height by about 80 feet should boost the capacity to make power. With the Assembly's green light, crews could break ground in as little as 3 weeks. But there are still big questions about how to pay for the project. And that's where KCAW's Ed Ronco picks up coverage of last night's meeting.
The good news for city officials is that the price tag to expand Blue Lake is a few million dollars lower than the last time they checked. The bad news is that the construction phase of the project is still estimated to cost about $88 million, well above the $50 million they had expected over the summer. Still, it was a unanimous vote Tuesday night to begin work. Montana-based Barnard Construction will handle that, with management from Idaho's McMillan LLC. There are still a few details to work out, but it looks like shovels will hit the ground on November 19th. Mort McMillan from McMillan LLC told the Assembly that the Blue Lake project team shaved nearly $5 million off the construction contract by focusing on two main areas.
One was to change the design parameters that we were looking at. The second had to do with the contract terms, like the milestone schedule and the outage periods.
For example, the city can save $2.3 million if it redesigns part of the dam known as the surge chamber, an area that deals with rapid increases in water flow. That's a design change. And if Sitka takes Blue Lake offline a little earlier than anticipated during the construction, it could save about $300,000. Hatch Engineering, which designed the project, will need to redraw about 65 of the 300 drawings in the design to make those things work. The company will do that at no additional cost to the city. Utility Director Christopher Bruton says there were a few bumps in that process, including some disagreements between engineers and project managers.
Engineers from Hatch were sticking by their guns. It's like, by golly, we designed it that way. We see no reason to change it. So when we got higher-level management and Hatch involved, they recognize that these issues will save us a substantial amount of money without risking their design or their professional liability or reputation. So I think we're making progress towards getting them on board to do these design changes for us.
So Sitka has walked into the diner and ordered the meal, one 83-foot dam expansion with a few substitutions, and any minute now the folks in the kitchen will start cooking. But eventually somebody's going to bring a bill to the table, and that's the next step, figuring out how to pay. The extra costs at Blue Lake mean Sitka needs to find extra funding. In fact, the city was already planning to do that, but now the amount it's asking for will be bigger. Sitka requested about $43 million from the state, but won't know if it's coming until the legislative session early next year. City officials also are going to the Alaska Municipal Bond Bank next week to ask permission to borrow more money. The Municipal Bond Bank is an arm of the State Department of Commerce that makes loans to municipalities for big projects.
As we've told you before, we'll be the largest borrower the bond bank has ever undertaken.
City Administrator Jim Dinley.
So they want to make sure that they have all the information in front of them to make a good decision, but they've given us no indication it would not be approved.
The Assembly voted at its last meeting to ask the bond bank to allow Sitka to borrow about $80 million. The city doesn't necessarily plan to take out that much. It only plans to ask for about $30 million immediately. But it has to tell the bank just how much it could possibly need, provided no money comes in from the legislature. Assembly members have acknowledged the situation is less than ideal. But they also say, with so much invested in the project already, millions of dollars and years of work, there's no turning back. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Ed Ronco.
A few more items from last night's assembly meeting. The city will suspend its sales tax on the 2 days after Thanksgiving. It's become something of a tradition in recent years to promote local shopping. The assembly advanced a measure that would ban dogs from Moeller Field or the Kimsham Ball Fields. City officials say the ban and the $300 fine it would impose on owners who violate it are necessary to keep the new sports facilities free of dog waste. But one resident testified last night that he's a responsible dog owner and would at least like to see Kimsham remain open to dogs in the winter months. Assembly members approved $438,000 to buy new software for City Hall. Deputy Finance Director Michael Middleton told the Assembly that the software is old and difficult to use. He said the city offices still use old one-color displays and that the logon screen for many employees reads Copyright 1980. Senator Bert Stedman is scheduled to appear this afternoon before the Sitka Chamber of Commerce. The event was slated to be a candidate forum between the Sitka Republican and his Democratic opponent, Angoon State Senator Albert Kukesh, but the chamber said Kukesh is unable to attend. Both are vying for Senate District Q, which stretches the length of nearly the entire panhandle. Getting around that district is time-consuming and expensive, and as Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld reports, one candidate has a healthy lead, at least when it comes to fundraising.
Redistricting shoved Sitka's Bert Stedman and Angoon's Albert Kukesh into an incumbent versus incumbent Senate race. The most recent campaign finance reports show Republican Stedman with the most money. He brought in about $31,000 since the August primary. That's about six times more than Democrat Kukesh's $5,000. Overall, Stedman leads with about $64,000 raised this and last year. That's almost twice Kukesh's $33,000. Still, Stedman says he's hoping for more.
Well, it'd be nice to to get that dollar amount up to about 80 to run a good Senate campaign. It, just expensive to travel around and advertising and stuff like that. It has a funny way of adding up.
The district includes Ketchikan, Haines, Wrangell, Sitka, Craig, and Clukwan, plus numerous smaller communities. It's about three-quarters of Stedman's old district and one-quarter of his competitors. Kukesh continues raising funds, but unlike Stedman, he says he has what he needs.
It's really been hard to raise money, though, because of the so many people are running this year. Every House seat and every Senate seat, except for one. I've even seen Anchorage legislators coming down here for fundraisers in Juneau, so they must have dried Anchorage up pretty good.
Both are members of the state Senate's bipartisan majority, which blocked Governor Sean Parnell's plan to lower oil taxes. Neither got money from Alaska's major petroleum companies or the political action committees they fund. Stedman's campaign did attract $1,000 from top officials at Armstrong, a Colorado-based independent oil and gas company with Alaska investments. He also brought in $250 from the ConocoPhillips employee PAC, but he's not getting much help from his party.
Each senator can get up to $15,000 from the party. I've gotten $250 from the Sitka Republican women, and that's it. I expect no party support out of Anchorage at all.
Kukesh got a little more party money, $500 from Juneau's Democratic organization. Both candidates have raised significant amounts from unions and their PACs. Kukesh brought in about $7,000 from six state employee and teachers groups, plus two construction unions. All of Kukesh's PAC money came from labor groups. Stedman raised half as much labor money as his opponent. He got $3,600 from three construction labor groups. Five other PACs, including Saners, Dentists, and Hospitality Businesses, raised his total to $6,600. Kukesh also brought in about $3,000 from board members and employees of the regional Native corporation Sea Alaska, where he's board president.
I got some money individuals who work for Sea Alaska, but no, they don't have a PAC, and they haven't spent any money on a PAC. And if they had a PAC, they certainly didn't spend it on me.
Meanwhile, Stedman got $500 from the president of Sitka's Native corporation. The candidates have met with business, community, and tribal leaders as they've traveled from Metlakatla to Pelican and points in between. Kukesh says voters have asked about education funding and energy prices, among other issues.
A lot of talk about the ferry system and the need for replacing ferries. The road to resources, there's a lot of discussion because of the Prince of Wales mines that are going in down there.
Stedman says he's hearing much of the same from just about all of the communities he's campaigned in.
The issues haven't changed or don't change when you move from one island to the other as far as off of the major hurdles, which is energy and transportation.
The candidates' numbers have changed since their most recent finance reports filed earlier this month. At that time, Stedman had spent about $31,000 and still had around $26,000 left. Kukesh had spent around $11,000 with twice that much left. This is Ed Schoenfeld reporting from Juneau.
State Senators Bert Stedman and Albert Kukesh met in a forum earlier this month at KRBD in Ketchikan. You can hear that forum and read campaign finance reports on our website, kcaw.org. The Coast Guard says it has suspended a search for a 62-year-old crewman who fell overboard from a fishing vessel near Skagway. Petty Officer 3rd Class Jonathan Klingenberg says a Skagway police officer reported that the man overboard Tuesday afternoon from the 45-foot fishing vessel Darlin Michelle. Klingenberg says other crew members tossed the man a life ring and tried to pull him back aboard several times, but the man's life jacket broke and he was unable to latch onto the life ring. The Coast Guard says its crew searched approximately 20 square miles. Alaska State Troopers, several other vessels in the area, and another helicopter crew helped as well. And a diver needed a medical evacuation after running out of air and being forced to surface quickly. The unidentified diver was taken from the fishing vessel Patricia K. late Monday evening. The ship was in Alatak Bay, about 90 miles from Kodiak City, on the south end of Kodiak Island.